The Homestead strike hit Andrew Carnegie very hard. He had worked on his public image going all the way back to when he was 15, Honest Boy Returns Banknote. And now with two of his philosophies entangled, keeping costs down and peaceful arbitration, the press was having a field day. Some people felt that the giving away of his money was just his guilt, and yet he had begun giving gifts 15 years before while he was solely investing. And nearly 25 years before, he had written out his manifesto for giving his wealth away. At the age of 62, Andrew and Louise had their only child, a daughter, Margaret. This gave them tremendous joy and made Andrew pause. And 33 years after he had promised to retire at the age of 35, after convincing all his partners, he sold Carnegie Steel to J.P. Morgan for $400 million. His share would be $240 million, or nearly $5 billion today. He built his family a home, typical Andrew, 40 blocks north of where everyone else was building, and is today's Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum. And he began giving away his money with the same energy and enthusiasm that helped him make it. At the Library of Congress, I saw hundreds of letters from people from all over the world asking for money, for as little as $5, and others for many thousands. He read each one and answered almost all of them himself or dictated to a secretary. His energy took him in many directions. For example, he founded the Desert Laboratory in Tucson to study how plants survive in the heat, the first of its kind, and the saguaro cactus's biological name is Carnegiea gigantea. He funded expeditions, during which was discovered the largest dinosaur ever found, and he paid to have it reassembled in the Pittsburgh Museum that he funded. It was named Diplodocus carnegiea. He funded a plaster cast for it, which took 18 months to build for the Museum of Natural History in London, and it caused such a sensation, he had six more made for other countries in Europe, which people started calling dinosaur diplomacy. He gave gifts to schools and colleges and then founded one of his own, today's Carnegie Mellon, which led him to establish pensions for teachers, teachers' insurance, the TIAA today. He established dozens of pensions for private individuals such as Helen Keller and wanted to set up a pension fund for the widows of presidents of the United States. And he donated more than 7,000 church organs all over the world. One of the gifts for which he was most proud was the Hero Fund. When he heard of a mining accident in which more than 180 miners were killed, including two that had given their lives in rescue attempts, he set up a fund of $5 million to award individuals in proven acts of heroism with a sum of money and a medal or access to a scholarship. It continues to this day, and as of 2018, more than 10,000 people have been given more than $40 million in 10 countries. When we started the archives for Carnegie Hall in 1986, and there was growing publicity about the hall searching for its past, I received a number of phone calls from people wanting to know if we were related to the Carnegie Hero Fund. I didn't know what that was. It was explained to me that great-grandpa, as a young man, saved someone from drowning and was awarded $1,000 so he was able to buy the store, or how another had saved someone from a fire and was given access to schooling, and the Hero Fund changed their family's lives. On display here, loaned to us by the Carnegie Hero Fund Commission, is the memo in Andrew Carnegie's hand where he starts, "I can't get the widows and children of the mine out of my head." And then the libraries, more than 2,500 around the world, 1,687 of them in 49 states and Puerto Rico. And because of his way of giving, that would involve others and becoming a communal effort, more than 2,000 of those are still operating around the world today in some way. There are 106 in Ohio, 142 in California, and all 67 branches of the New York Public Library. By 1920, it was estimated that more than 30 million people a year used the Carnegie Free Libraries.